Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Well, it seems everything is in place. Trump's buildup to war with Iran only needs the go-ahead. Everything about this policy is inexplicable. What's the threat? Why now? For whom? At what cost? And what does victory look like? Crosstalking Iran, I'm joined by my guest, Larry Johnson in Tampa. He's a former CIA analyst and U.S. State Department counterterrorism official. In Virginia, we have Michael Scheuer. He is the former head of the Bin Laden issue station at the CIA. And in South Carolina, we have Evans Livens. He is an independent social media journalist. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, let's kick this off with Larry. Okay, I read my questions in the introduction. I'll read them again just to make sure. What is the threat? Why now? For whom? At what cost? And what does victory mean? You can take all of them or any of them, Larry. Just, you know, like a pinata, hit it.
Sure. Look, we're waiting to see what the outcome of the talks in Geneva are today. As soon as it's going to be one of two choices. Either they're going to come out and say, hey, we had a great meeting with the Iranians. We've agreed on a path forward. There's a basis for an agreement. And there should be a basis for an agreement because Iran, number one, Iran has never been building a nuclear weapon. So if Trump's demand is, hey, they can't build a nuke, Iran will say, okay, yeah, that, you know, we've been saying that for 8 years. There would be no war. But the alternative is, I think the Trump administration is looking for an excuse. And they'll come out and say, those Iranians, they're intransigent. They're not willing to cooperate. So therefore, they're going to have to face the fate of American justice. And at that point, I think we're looking at going to war. And there is a bright side to it. The United States is going to get its ass kicked. If the United States decides that it's going to, quote, deal with this militarily, the United States is going to face what will be charitably described as a loss.
Larry, if I can go to Michael here, I mean, it seems like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, I've never seen a president box himself into a situation because if he moves forward, and I think we're all in agreement here, once the first missile is fired, all bets are off. You have no idea what's going to happen. But if he just puts his tail between his leg and goes home, he's going to have hell to pay by his donors, the people that are part of the lobby supporting this kind of adventurism. I mean, Trump looks very indecisive. He looks very, very weak, and he's not in control of his own policy. His State of the Union address, I would have thought he would have had an olive branch somehow, but he didn't do that. Michael.
Well, he's stuck with the Israelis, sir. That's the problem. For whatever reasons, which we don't know, whether it's money or whether it's a threat to use nuclear weapons against somebody, I don't know what the answer is. But what he's doing is illegal, unconstitutional. What he's doing is madness. We have not had a collection capability on the ground in Afghanistan since the mullahs took over. We probably have no real idea what they've done in the past 47 years to prepare for this day, which I think they're smart enough to have been doing. And what threat do they pose to us? They pose no threat to us except for the people we let into this country over the last 5 years. That's the wild card. That's one thing Trump has to worry about. Not only Shia, but Sunnis. We have a monstrous presence of our enemies here. You know, you have to figure that there's Chinese intelligence officers, there's Russian officers that have walked across the border and now are firmly established here. So he's got a hell of a problem at home this time. It's not just go beat up the Iraqis. The Iraqis weren't here to beat us up. There's a lot of danger in this country, sir. So what he's doing is exactly the wrong thing at the wrong time. And if he wanted to clinch the midterms coming up, he would have never went in the first place. He told the Israelis to bugger off.
Yeah, but Ethan, a lot of people are saying there's a lot of windows closing right now. We saw during the 12-day war, Iran's burgeoning and very effective missile program, long range, supersonic, et cetera, et cetera. The media myth is that Iran said uncle, but it was the other way around. It was the Israelis that demanded that they have their chestnuts pulled out of the fire. So, and plus, the Israelis are probably never going to have a more pliant president in the White House. And third, even irrespective of this Iran file, Trump doesn't look very good for the midterms. So they want to get it. They want to solve a lot of problems right now before the midterms. Ethan.
Yeah, he needs a win and he needs to try to show a lot of strength and to unify the Republic. And what else are you going to do to unify the Americans except go to war? Let's just go to war like Bush did with Iraq. But the problem with Iran is Iran has something called ballistic missiles and hypersonic missiles and the ability to destroy the American and world economy kind of by closing the Strait of Hormuz. You know, the oil of the world is in Iran's hands right now. And if Trump thinks that he's just going to walk in, throw a few missiles at Tehran, take a few people out, you know, it's a country with 90 million people. Four times the size of Iraq, it's going to be a disaster. And it's for the Israelis because they know this is the maybe the only president they have left that's going to do this for them. It's the final threat to Israel, even though Iran poses no threat to any Americans whatsoever. They don't have a missile that can even go past Israel, quite honestly. This is all for the Israelis. And he used that State of the Union speech the other day to try to drive this message home about nuclear weapons, like we've heard before in Iraq in 2003. He's losing his mind. He's delusional. And this is from somebody from the Deep South who voted for the guy. And all of a sudden, it went from no new wars to actually we're going to fight the biggest country in West Asia with hypersonic and ballistic missiles that, by the way, are very unified after thwarting that CIA operation a few months ago that we tried to pull on them, which was weird. And the Iranians have a lot to hit back with, hypersonics, ballistics, closing the oil industry. You know, if he wants a win, I promise raising gas and oil prices, especially in America, whenever the average American has to go to work and they look at the gas price go up because of this, yeah, that's not going to be a very good sign for him. Also, when the inevitable happens, if a hypersonic strikes an aircraft carrier, yeah, that's not a win.
Yeah, those aircraft carriers are having a lot of problems, apparently. We don't need to go go into detail here, but apparently. Yeah. Larry, what is the possibility? Because, you know, I've started this program like so many other people in the last 24, 36 hours when Trump makes his decision. Okay, what if Israel preempts him and strikes first?
I don't think that'll happen. I mean, regardless of whether Israel decides to preempt or not, Iran is not in this fight alone. Quote Ringo Starr, they're going to get by with a little help from their friends. Both Russia and China have, on January 29th, they signed a trilateral security agreement with Iran, number one. Number two, they have been heavily involved since the 12-day war last June in building up Iran's both air defense capabilities and military capabilities. Plus, they are providing advanced intelligence. The reality is the United States, if they decide to go forward with the attack on Iran, they have not fought anyone like this since World War II.
Peer
and
to peer.
And so in that regard, Iran, I think, is quite capable of inflicting some significant damage. It's like Mike Tyson is going to get into the boxing ring with a 18-year-old girl. And at the end of the match, the 18-year-old girl is still standing. Iran doesn't have to win
in order to win.
So the fact that what Iran is going to demonstrate is that it can stand up to and hold its own with the United States. You know, look, we saw this 8 months ago in March with Operation Rough Rider in the Red Sea. The United States had two aircraft carriers deployed. They had five destroyers. And they went in with the intent to bring the Houthis to heel. How did that work out? It didn't. The United States had to declare victory and withdraw.
You know, Michael, it's quite clear that even within the region, the Gulf countries, they don't want this strike here because let's say it works Trump's way miraculously. OK, you know, a black swan event. OK, then the Arab Gulf countries are going to have an Israeli hegemon, you know, actually reflecting Huckabee's wish. Biblical wish of Israel's control of the Middle East. I don't think any of us think it's going to go that way. But the even these Arab countries that are saying, you know, this is catastrophic because it is to be or not to be for many of these. I mean, you know, we've been, you know, some of us have been to some of these countries here. It doesn't take much to destroy the place. They're pretty small, Michael.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's an illusion. I say sometimes that we're stuck. The United States is stuck in the cult of World War II.
Yep.
Show up with your battleships. Show up with your aircraft carriers, and the other guys are going to fight, but they're going to get wiped out because we're the big guys on the block. That's not the case this time. It's not been the case since 1945. We have won nothing. I question whether we have the capability in the General Officer Corps to carry on an operation such as this, even conceptually. They've lost every war since 1945, and it's a damn embarrassment to know how many wars we've tried to fight. I think it's a hopeless situation for America until we get rid of the Israelis, sir, and return to the Constitution. The Constitution guarantees that we have no wars unless we're attacked. And this is another one. You should be and I voted for him every time he's run.
Well, gentlemen, that brings to the point, and we're almost going to a break here, but, you know, that's a very interesting point because the allure, the propaganda spin that Israel has had on the American public for decades, it's all gone. It's gone. OK, I mean, you know, there'll be people that are primaried and it'll be a tough season. But moving forward, the allure is gone. OK, you're going to have people saying, I don't take AIPAC money. That's going to be a selling point. That's why this timing issue, I think, is so very important because they got to get a lot of things done very, very quickly because this guy in the White House is, well, who knows what's going to happen to him after the midterms and who knows what's going to happen to him physically. I mean, the Israeli lobby has a lot of influence. I'll leave everyone thinking about that as we go to a break. We're going to a break, and after that break, we'll continue our discussion on Iran. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Iran. Okay, let's go back to Ethan. In public opinion terms, I mean, everything I've looked at, 70% plus of the American public is dead set against this. I mean, because of the reasons that I put out in my introduction, it's basically variations on why? Okay. Yeah. And this is not going to go down well. And there's still people like gentlemen on this program that voted for him, but you know, you didn't vote for this. OK, and that's pretty obvious here. And the people that were on the outside, like Marco Rubio and these and Lady Graham and people like that, they're on the inside now. We keep going back to George Bush. I didn't want to parrot your words, Larry, okay, because I didn't want to get in trouble with plagiarism. But Ethan, Kate, take it away.
Yeah, no one voted for this. He won in a landslide, literally for the pro-peace ticket. No more wars. We're going to get out of Ukraine. We're going to get out of the Middle East, and we're going to focus on America, focus on the economy, and everyone will be happy. And we're a year in, and we're about to go to war with the biggest country in West Asia. What happened? How did this happen? How did we get here? You know, it's an absolute disaster. And the American public, and I'm in the Deep South with a lot of religion, and when you have these evangelical Christians coming out and asking me, like, Ethan, what's this Israel stuff going on? What do they do? When you have those people to start asking the questions about Israel, you're starting to figure out we've gone too far. There's too many dead people on the American and the other side, Lebanese, Palestinians, Christians, and Muslims that are dying at the hands of American munitions being dropped in Gaza. And now apparently going to happen in Iran, God forbid. I hope it doesn't. But the American public does not want this. It's overwhelmingly, every poll you look at is 70, 80, 90% extremely against war.
Well, Ethan, since you're in the deep red South here, I'm just curious, what is the talk about Huckabee's interview with Tucker Carlson? Because that was just the most revolting thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, my area, we could vote for Lindsey Graham every few years, so we get to deal with that as well. But the Huckabee stuff is so confusing. It makes Lindsey Graham look like a good little puppy, because Huckabee goes on YouTube in one of the biggest interviews with Tucker Carlson, where everyone sees it, and makes a biblical case about Israel stretching to Iran. And number one, who gets to do that? We would have to go to war for that to happen. We would be the ones that have to fight every country in the Middle East for this. And he looks like a doofus. He looks like the ambassador from Israel to the United
States. That's
right. It's a total flip. Yeah. He's not representing us. He's not representing anybody.
Larry, you know, we're close in the same age here with Michael. We have the youngster, Evan, with us. But, you know, let's go down memory lane. The Iranians, the mullahs, the Ayatollah, they're all religious fanatics, okay? And religion clouds their judgment when it comes to common sense and pragmatism. Huckabee is a religious nut, okay? And it's dictating how he understands policy. With Ethan is absolutely right, when tens of millions of people's lives are at stake here. So who are the religious fanatics here in the Middle East? It's the, well, I don't know what his position, I don't know what Huckabee's position is, okay? He's certainly not an American ambassador. Go ahead.
Actually, I think we need to give Huckabee some credit. I mean, look, he probably deserves the Nobel Peace Prize now, because he was able to get Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates to both violently agree on something. You know, 2 weeks ago, they were ready to go to war with each other. And then in the aftermath of his comment that basically, yeah, everything from the Nile to the Euphrates, yeah, that Israel should occupy that. The entire area went nuts, including with Indonesia from outside came in. Every single country, including Jordan and Saudi Arabia, which right now are hosting the U.S. Air Force, one third of the U.S. Air Force in terms of F-35 capabilities. This kind of simplistic religious nonsense, where the Zionist Christians read into it that here is this book that was written 2,500 years ago by a group of Jewish scholars who were hanging out in Babylon because they'd been taken away by the Babylonians. They say, hey, we've got this idea. Let's write this book, and we're going to make ourselves a star of it. And we're going to say that God says we get to have all this land that we're currently not occupying because we're being held captive here in Babylon. I mean, it's nonsensical. But yet, here's Huckabee hawking that as if it's truth. And at the end, what he achieved was uniting the Arab and Muslim nations in the Levant against the United States.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, I think there's this saying, you know, Israeli society is overwhelmingly secular, but they all believe God gave them the land. I mean, that's the Huckabee level of intelligence here. It's low octane thinking. The whole reason that interview came about because Tucker criticized Christian Zionism, which I applauded. I thought that was a great program that he made. But then they were trying to find a meeting of minds. Huckabee found himself just, you know, hip deep in it all over again. Again, how does this reflect? This is not reflective. This is reflective of a media and of elites. It's not reflective of average people. Donald Trump won an amazing victory coming back to power, and he's betrayed almost everything he ran on. Michael.
I think, and he's been a successful man in his life, and it doesn't seem to me we can assume that he's an idiot. It seems to me that when you equate the way to describe the Israelis as Bolsheviks, willing to kill anybody at any time, like the Chinese, like the Bolsheviks, like the Soviets, rather. And it whistles loudly to me about the extent to which we are controlled because there was been any other ambassador in the history of the United States who said anything like Huckabee said would have been recalled, would at least been chastised by the Department of State, at least. But we're just in a position where this is wildly obvious now to Americans that we're in a hole and we're controlled. Stay there until we need you, and when we need you, you attack. And what the threat is from the Israelis personally to Trump or to his people or to his family, I don't know. But clearly, a rational man is not going to act like this.
Yeah, but just the very fact that you just said that, we don't know. The very fact that we bring up the question tells us all we need to know, okay? Go ahead.
Peter, I think that that 535 U.S. congressmen and senators being paid monthly or bi-monthly by the Israelis in getting what they call election funding is bribery on steroids, if you know the old stupid saying. But it's clear. It's absolutely clear to Americans. Would we put up with the Congress being on the pay of Mexico? Probably they're on the pay of the cartels for some of them, but I don't know. The core of the American Constitution and the core of the American government is corrupt and deeply corrupted.
Well, we have an indication of that during the State of the Union address. I watched it. The country is deeply, deeply polarized, very, very divided. The decorum that Larry and I were brought up with, I guess it was the first time it was Obama, a congressman yelled, "You lie!" Remember that?
Yeah.
There's no decorum now, okay? It's a circus. It's a circus. Except, Ethan, a bipartisan standing ovation for what? War against Iran. That's what we saw. Only once during the entire speech. Mm-hmm. That's the only time they all came together. Ethan.
Yeah, because they're bought out by the Israelis. And they both, when the Democrats and Republicans agree on something like that wholeheartedly, you know something's up. You know that it's not about America anymore. It's not about the elections. It's strictly about a force above them that are telling them both you're going to rise, like some humiliation ritual. It was honestly shocking, and I hope every American was watching that when it happened and wakes up like, we're supposed to agree on that? We're supposed to full-heartedly back Israel, even though they're basically a genocidal regime. And I would compare them less to the Chinese and the Soviets, more to the Nazis, as to how this weird ethnic cleansing they're putting on in Gaza and southern Lebanon.
That's a good point.
And
absolutely.
Thanks. But this American political system at this point is hijacked by the Israelis, hijacked by AIPAC. Trump's he was offered like $200 million by Marion Adelson to run a third term. And that's not serving me. That's not serving you. That's not serving any American. That's to serve Israel. Because the interests of Israel are being put ahead of America right now. Along the halls of Congress, outside of their offices, they have the Israeli flag, the Israeli star Israel.
Who's the nutcase, the congressman that walks around with an Israeli IDF uniform?
Brian Mass.
That guy should be arrested. Maybe
he's a traitor.
He needs to maybe a mental institute. This is outrageous on the. Okay. All right. We're rapidly running out of time. Larry, what are the chances we just go taco here?
Slim. It is, look.
Okay. That's a nice throwaway line. The JCPOA 2.0.
Yeah. Look, if Trump proclaims that the real issue is trying to keep Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Iran has never been trying to get a nuclear weapon. They should have, if they were smart.
I agree.
If they were like the North Koreans, they would have got it, but they haven't. So the real objective here is regime change. The lies that have been consistently told to the American public, and we heard it in that State of the Union address, that Iran is the number one sponsor of terrorism. It is not.
Not.
Both my old office at State Department and the Bureau of Counterterrorism, as well as the French think tank, Fondelab, they've got all the statistics. Since 1979, 80% of global terrorism that has caused casualties has been carried out by radical Sunnis. Not a single one of those groups has any connection with Iran whatsoever. It's a lie. But it's become something that everybody believes. And
well, you know, and also the
example that when you convince people of a lie and they act on it, it becomes reality.
And we've seen over the decades, the 31 flavors of jihadists, they are working in league with Israel. They're allies. Okay. So this whole endeavor is exposing so many things, and that is the only silver lining, gentlemen. What we're saying on this program now was verboten a few years ago, and that's the upside of where we are right now. I want to thank my guests in Tampa, Virginia, and in South Carolina. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.